see everyone here. I hope that what I will have to say will benefit us all and help us to live better lives in the future. Tonight I will be continuing the series on Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. In the first two lessons in this series, we studied the duties of older men and older women. But tonight we will study the duties of young women found in verses 4 and 5. Let's begin our study by reading Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, where we get the information for this series. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Whichever group we fit ourselves into, we should all try to learn from this study. It can be difficult to listen to a sermon that doesn't seem to apply to you, but almost all of the qualities listed in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, apply to all people. The first quality that younger women are commanded to have is sobriety. In this case, sober doesn't necessarily mean avoiding alcohol. In this case, sober means serious, mature, or careful. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, shows us that Jesus will come back, and we must be ready. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer." We have to be extremely careful in our actions, always watching to make sure that we don't dirty our garments and make ourselves impure in God's sight. Sin comes much more naturally to us than godliness. So if we don't watch to make sure that we don't fall into sin, we will definitely do just that and fall into bad habits. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 through 9 shows us that we have to live up to Christ's name so that we can obtain salvation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 through 9 says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." As Christians, we must portray Christ's name in a good way. But if we aren't sober, we will have evil actions and will make others think that Christians are no better than all the worldly people. Also, if we aren't sober, God will be displeased with our evil lives. On the other hand, if we do watch our actions, we will please God. The second thing that young women are commanded to do is love their husbands. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 11 through 12, shows us that a wife can show her love for her husband by giving him confidence and by doing him good. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 11 through 12 says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Proverbs chapter 31 is a chapter that talks a lot about the duties of, or what a virtuous woman will do. This verse tells us first that a virtuous woman can be trusted. Her husband can leave the house and know that she has things under control. He can go to work, knowing that the children will be fed, clothed, and punished for their sins while he is gone. I'm sure it's a great comfort for husbands to know that they're not working alone, and that their helpmeet will be with them through thick and thin. Secondly, the verse talks about the wife doing her husband good all his life. That's a great way for a wife to show her love to her husband, just treating him in a godly way, reproving him when he needs it, and encouraging all the time. Another extremely important way that a wife can show her love for her husband is to stick with him even when he messes up. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and verse 10 commands spouses to stay together. Verse 10 says, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband." Some people seem to think that you'll date for a while, work out the kinks in your relationship, then you get married and it's all sunshine and roses from then on. Others don't seem to realize that there are benefits in marriage. Both of these are warped frames of mind. Even in the most godly marriages, there are problems, because we're humans and we all mess up. Some spouses, after they're married for a while, say, "I just can't love my spouse anymore." But love isn't a feeling, it's a decision. A man or woman should never leave their spouse for any cause but fornication, as Matthew chapter 19, verse 9 says. Spouses have to endure troubles together and encourage one another. This is a sign of true biblical love, helping and forgiving your spouse. Next, we're going to talk about loving your children. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 27 through 28 shows us that a mother can't be lax in her duties. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 27 through 28 says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her." It says she looketh well to the ways of her household. She's watching her family. She's looking out for them. Seems like many men and women in the world today want to slack off in their duties and let their spouse take those duties that they should be carrying themselves. Without both members of the team helping each other in the task of raising godly children, the job won't be done properly. If a mother and father want godly children, they will have to work at it. This work to help their children shows their love for them. Secondly, mothers and fathers show their love by teaching their children and helping to save them from eternal damnation. They can do this by verbal encouragement and by punishment for their children's sins. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7 commands parents to talk about God and his requirements all the time. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Raising children isn't a part-time job. Parents have to not only be talking about God, but they must also have these laws in their heart and live by God's laws. If you do this for your children, they will follow your example and be godly men and women. Even with the hard work of parents to teach their children with their words and actions, the children will still sin. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 shows us that those who love their children will punish them. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." When a son or daughter sins, their parents must respond with punishment so that their children don't become embedded in that sin. They must also be consistent. Betimes means to be up early at any task, and it implies earnestness. Parents must chasten their children every time that they sin, and punish them even when they're tired or just don't want to. Many people say that physically punishing children is evil or abusive, but God shows us that truly loving parents will punish their children. A parent who loves their child will want the very best for them. And what's better than a home with God in heaven? Properly punished children are far more likely to be godly men and women than those who are left to their own devices. A loving parent will strive for that goal with all their might. In order to be a good example for children and to live godly lives, we must all use discretion. And that's the fourth thing that younger women are commanded to do. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, and then verse 22 shows us that discretion will help us to avoid evil. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 11 through 13 says, "Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness." And then skipping down to verse 22, it says, "But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out." Discretion will keep us from a lot of sin that we couldn't stand up against otherwise. People who don't have discretion won't control their thoughts, their speech, or their actions, but will do whatever they want. As Christians, we have to control our worldly impulses and follow what is the far more difficult path, the straight and narrow that requires us to continually restrain ourselves and follow the Bible, because those who don't use discretion will be destroyed. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22 shows us that a person's soul is far more important than what's on the outside. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22 says, "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion." A fair woman has little worth if she doesn't control herself. Would you want to know a beautiful woman who is immodest, unkind in her speech, uses foul language, and is a terribly immoral person? The picture we're painting here starts out okay, but as we go on, the picture becomes worse and worse. And then that woman becomes an entirely undesirable person. There's nothing wrong with beauty, but beauty without discretion is useless. Inner beauty is what counts. Next, we're going to talk about the quality of chastity. Chaste means innocent, modest, and pure. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 29 through 30, continues what we were talking about a minute ago. It shows us that a godly woman should be valued and cherished over a beautiful woman. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 29 through 30 says, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." Physical beauty is worthless, but the spiritual purity is what matters most. Why do people struggle for physical beauty when it doesn't matter? Instead, we should strive for purity before God so that we will please Him. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 10 shows us that a woman should adorn herself in good works. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 10 says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." A woman who is professing godliness has to have godly attributes instead of immodest, showy apparel. That's how a woman can let her light shine, by having a godly life instead of flaunting her physical appearance. The sixth quality for young women is being keepers at home. A woman must avoid laziness in order to keep her home. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 27 shows us that a virtuous woman will be diligent. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 27 says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness." A woman is expected to care for her family, but many parents of today slack off in their duties and just hope that their children will turn into great and wonderful people without any proper supervision. A mother is expected to make sure that her family is fed and clothed, and a lazy woman will not fulfill her roles. Feeding the family, no matter how difficult it becomes, is one very important role for a mother. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 15 emphasizes this. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 15 says, "She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens." This shows us just how difficult feeding a family, especially a large family, can become. Mothers have to feed their family probably at least 3 times a day. And as their children grow and become involved in more time-consuming activities, this job becomes more and more difficult. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 21 shows us that a mother is also responsible for clothing her family. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 21 says, "She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet." Although mothers don't have to make all of the clothes that her family wears anymore, she is still responsible for repairing clothes that active children continually harm, and she must also prepare them for different situations. They have to be prepared for cold, heat, rain, wind, and really for all circumstances. A woman who isn't a keeper at home can't monitor these things and make sure that these many needs are fulfilled. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 shows that mothers should help teach their children. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." The fathers aren't the only ones who need to teach the children. This passage shows us that Timothy's mother and grandmother raised him and taught him many beneficial things. Timothy's father didn't believe what was right, so it was up to his mother and his grandmother to teach him what was right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11 shows us that a lazy mother won't provide for her family. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11 says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." If a mother doesn't work, she may go hungry, and her children's needs will also be unfulfilled. She has to keep doing what she needs to do in the house instead of being the busybody and not fulfilling her family's needs. The next virtue of younger women is good. Good is the opposite of evil, and every one of the hundreds of commandments given in the Bible can be applied to this topic. Because of that, I won't go into this topic, but keep in mind that all other virtues fit into this one virtue. So since we're not going to go into that, we're going to go on and talk about being obedient to husbands. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25 commands wives to submit to their husbands. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Wives are commanded to submit to their husbands because the husband is the head of the wife. The wife is commanded to be subject to her husband and obey what he says if he is following God. But the husband isn't allowed to be harsh or to act superior toward the wife. Instead, husbands should love and cherish their wives and be ready to give everything for them like Christ did for the church. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 2 gives a similar message about wives being subject to husbands. But this passage also talks about that being a good example for women in the world. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 2 says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." The Christian wives must set good examples for the wives of the world by being in subjection to their husbands and living godly lives in other aspects. If God's word doesn't make a woman follow what's right, another woman thriving while following God's laws might win them over. Obeying a good husband in no way takes away your freedom or makes your life miserable. In fact, having that helper to lean on and trust is beneficial. Women should follow these laws with all their heart, so that, as the last part of Titus chapter 2, verse 5 says, the word of God won't be blasphemed because of evil actions in a Christian. That's what we're going to study about next. By sinning, we as Christians give an occasion for those in the world to say, "Look, they're no better than I am." 1 Timothy chapter 5, and verse 14, commands women to behave themselves in a Christian way so that these things won't happen. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14 says, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." We have to be a shining light and show people that there is a difference between Christians and the regular worldly people. Although teaching from the pulpit gets more attention than other teaching methods, this method of showing forth godly actions has won many souls. Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 through 16 shows us that we must be blameless so that we won't run our race in vain. Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 through 16 says, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Be that shining light. Be that blameless Christian. If you strive to the best of your ability to follow God, you won't run in vain. There's a prize waiting for the godly people, whom the people of the world can't find fault in. But if you are the flawed vessel, you have a terrible punishment waiting for you if you don't change your ways. If you're a young woman, strive to follow all of these requirements with all your heart. Also, if you're an older woman, you are commanded to teach these things to the younger women. So you must also follow these commandments. If you're a man, follow the commandments that we studied that apply to you. And while wives are commanded to love their husbands, you should also love your wife. If you're a Christian, have forsaken God's commandments, and would like the prayers of the church, we would love to assist you. Would you like to become a Christian and partake in the rewards that only faithful Christians get? We would love to study with you and teach you what you need to do in order to be saved if you don't know the gospel plan. Or if you do know the plan of salvation and would like to be baptized tonight, please come forward and have a seat on the front pew while we stand and while we sing.